So are you ready for another one?
I think so. Are you?
I am. So this is Justin and Tyler, and welcome to another episode of Classic Vinyl Podcast. So today we're going to be doing a song by The Doors that most people probably haven't heard of, unless you're a big Doors fan. Who scared you?
But it was Jim Morrison that scared me, probably.
Most likely. So let me go into a little history on The Doors. They're an American rock band formed in Los Angeles in 1965.
Venice Beach.
Jim Morrison knew Ray Manzarek from UCLA Film School. That's how they met. Jim and Ray met up later, and Jim told Ray he'd been writing some lyrics, and he sang in Moonlight Drive, and they decided to form a band, and that's kind of how it started.
Starring Val Kilmer.
That's later.
Oh.
You have Jim Morrison on vocals, Ray Manzarek on keyboards, Robbie Krieger on guitar, and John Densmore on drums. Now, Jim Morrison came up with the band name The Doors from an Aldous Huxley book that was titled The Doors of Perception, which I've read, and it isn't too bad of a book. It's kind of strange, but it is what it is. I, being a huge Doors fan, people who have listened to this podcast know that the Beatles are probably my favorite band, but early on through my high school years and everything, it was Jim Morrison and The Doors all the way, without a doubt. The Doors are really hard to explain, their music, and most people either like them or they don't. And if you're turned off by the keyboard sound of The Doors, then you're not going to like most of The Doors.
No, you're not.
But they have a sound of rock, jazz, blues, psychedelic. You've got Morrison's baritone, dark eroticism in his voice, his pseudo-poetic lyrics. I mean,
this man sings sex.
It's an interesting sound, and like I said, you either love The Doors or you hate them, it seems like. They were initially a house band for an L.A. club called the London Fog, and they later became the house band at a pretty famous Sunset Strip club, the Whiskey A Go-Go, there in L.A. They signed to Elektra Records in August of 1966. Now, their self-titled debut album was released in 1967. It actually reached number 2 in the charts. It's certified 5 times platinum by the RIAA, and it had their most successful single that the band ever had, which was Light My Fire. So, Strange Days, their second album, reached number 3. Waiting for the Sun, their third album, reached number 1. Soft Parade reached number 6, and that album's kind of known as the album that's a departure from everything else because it's a softer album. It has a lot of strings and brass, but that album's become a cult classic with a lot of Doors fans as well.
Can you petition the Lord in prayer on that album?
Jim doesn't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Morrison Hotel, which was their 5th album, reached number 4. L.A. Woman, their 6th and final album with Jim Morrison, reached number 9. All their albums reached platinum status, but L.A. Woman was actually 3 times platinum status as well.
Definitely has the mojo rising.
It does. So they released all in all 6 studio albums with Morrison, 2 studio albums after his death with Robbie and Ray taking on all the vocal responsibilities. And those are kind of interesting albums if you haven't heard them. They did release in 1978 one poetry album called An American Prayer. It's basically recordings of Jim doing his own poetry in the studio, and the remaining Doors at the time in the late 70s put music to it. It's kind of interesting. They've released several compilation albums, greatest hits, box sets, 40th, 50th, and I'm sure there'll be 60th and 70th anniversary editions, and I obviously keep buying them all for some reason.
Because you are the cash cow.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Only 2 songs The Doors ever released hit number 1, Light My Fire, of course, and Hello, I Love You. 13 other singles they released charted in the top 100. But for a certain amount of time, I mean, they were the hottest American band there was. And I know we've talked about this on other episodes we've done with like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, things like that. But Doors were a bright flame that burned way bright, but for a very short time. They did a lot in a short period of time. They're actually the first American band ever to have 8 consecutive gold albums in a row, which is pretty impressive. The band has sold over 100 million albums worldwide. So Jim Morrison died of heart failure in Paris in July of 1971.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. But one thing's for certain is his death enhanced the band's legacy in a lot of ways.
It's because it was shrouded in mystery.
That's got to be part of it. But there's a lot of bands, and we've talked about this before, that were huge in the 60s and 70s, and for some reason, nobody knows them now. But then there's other bands that were huge or even moderately popular that are really well known now. And it's kind of weird that some endure and some don't. But I think a lot of the reason for the Doors' popularity started with Jim Morrison's death, and then another thing that really kicked it up a notch is in 1991, Oliver Stone's release of the Doors movie with Val Kilmer. Even though anyone close to anybody in the Doors thought the movie was a complete farce, it's what got me into the Doors. I mean, I was 13 years old at the time or whatever, and it was more the music than just the movie, you know? I mean, when you find out in later years after doing research that it was pretty crazy caricature of Jim in a way, and takes all the stereotypes people had of Jim and blows them way out of proportion. But still, if you want to see a movie that has good music in it and tells a basic story, it's a great movie. It's what got me into the Doors, and I like the movie.
Maybe Val Kilmer is Jim Morrison.
He was for the time.
Because who, like, where did Val Kilmer come from? What, like, where was Val Kilmer when Jim Morrison was performing?
All I know is he was Iceman in Top Gun.
Exactly. Where he came before that, nobody knows.
So the Doors were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993, one of the earlier bands. So do you want to get the song review?
Let's do it.
And now it's time for the song review.
Okay, so today we're doing the Doors song, Who Scared You? And this is kind of an interesting song because the one thing about this is one of only three non-album songs that the Doors ever released. You have this one, Who Scared You? You have You Need Meat, Don't Go No Further, and Tree Trunk. So this was the B-side of Wishful Sinful, which was released on March 18th of 1969. It reached number 44 on the U.S. charts. It did moderately well, but not too well for the band. Touch Me had done really well. It was the first single off the album. And like I stated earlier, this album that this song was associated with, The Soft Parade, it was a departure from their sound, complete departure with strings and brass and things like that. So it was definitely different. So the lyrics are written by Jim Morrison and the music's by the band. It's the only non-album song that was recorded during the Soft Parade sessions. It's produced by Paul Rothchild. And the one thing this song does feature is horns and strings, like the rest of the songs on the Soft Parade. I think they've done it very well in this song because it's not overdone. And yeah, we did listen to the stripped version too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, the stripped version's easier to understand the lyrics because for some reason the lyrics tend to drown out or blend with Jim Morrison's voice.
That could be the remixing of it as well.
That's true.
Because it is a newer remix. But eventually the song ended up on Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine in 1972, which was a compilation. And later on their 1997 box set, although for some reason I think it was a mistake, they left a verse out. But it was restored to the complete song on the 1998 Essential Rarities CD release. And this song's about Morrison and a woman's exploration of each other's bodies and minds.
Got that right.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting song. It's Morrison asking his love not to leave because he knows they both have been very satisfied with this relationship. But it's kind of an interesting song. You really need to look at the lyrics. And this song, like many of Morrison's songs, it basks in both the light and darkness while being very cryptic between what's truth and what's illusion. You know, what is he referring to? And that's Morrison. Mm-hmm. That's his lyrics. That's what he is about everything. So what are your thoughts on Who Scared You?
This song's got such a weird, what's the word I'm looking for? Rhythm? It's not rhythm. Tone, maybe? This whole up and down. Just up and down. And there's something about it that's like, it definitely paints a picture in your mind. Gives you a sense, almost a sense of drunkenness or intoxication. And it feels a lot like that intoxication that you get in the after, like post-coital afterglow, which is very poetic. And I think Jim Morrison would approve of that, that sentence. But I have no idea what the heck he's trying to say with some of these lyrics, because I really need to sit down and do a little bit of studying and, you know, reading up on this to see what some of these lyrics mean when he talks about there's a stranger, you know, coming up the road with a virgin, I think.
No, carrying a burden.
Oh, carrying a burden.
Yeah, carrying a burden and one sack of silver and one bag of gold. Gold,
yeah. What the hell does that mean? I don't know.
Well, I think that's the difference between truth and illusion. I mean, some of the lyrics, you know what he's talking about when he says, my room is so cold, you know, I don't want you to go, my love. I mean, obviously, we know what he's singing about there. But then at the end, when he talks about the stranger coming down the road carrying a heavy burden. Yeah, I don't know.
The room's cold. If you get out of the bed, your feet are going to be all cold on the cold floor.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
My love, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like Baby, It's Cold Outside, Jim Morrison version.
Totally. But Jim Morrison's a little bit more explicit about it. Really good song, though. It's a wild ride, And the Doors, like, I don't necessarily mind the organ, the keyboard, but there is some of this, like, Jim Morrison philosophy and wording that is so strange to me. And so that's one of the things that now blocks me from really getting into it. But at the same time, I'm kind of fascinated by it. So it's not so off-putting that I'm going to stop listening to the Doors, but I also need to study up more on it. I mean, this song sounds very sexual. I think that Jim Morrison really drove sexuality into his music in order to make it attractive. That's just my own personal philosophy from what I know about this band. But, you know, not a bad song. What do you think of it?
I've always loved this song, and it's one of those that I discovered a little later. Like I was saying, I was a huge Doors fan, and I completely dug into their 6 studio albums and then started digging into their live albums and some of their alternate stuff. And I found this a little later, and the Soft Parade's a tough album for me because sometimes it's my favorite album, sometimes it's my least favorite album, and I'm like that a lot. It's based on mood. I think everybody is to a certain point, but I really like the Morrison songs more so on even the way the music's orchestrated and put together on them, like Shaman's Blues, and this one kind of reminds me of that. It's got horns and it's got brass and strings in it or whatever, but it's used very subtly on this song and Shaman's Blues and a couple others that are on there. And so I like that. I like the way they use it. But there's a few songs on there that it's just way overdone that I don't really get into. There's a song called Do It, a song called Runnin' Blue. Both, I think, are both Robbie Krieger compositions that I really don't enjoy that well. They're just overdone too much for me. Too far of a departure from the Doors sound. The Soft Parade album is weaker for not having this song, Who Scared You, on it. And I don't know why it didn't. I don't know why they made that decision. I've heard that some people thought the guitar solo was very similar to Shaman's Blues. I don't see it. But the song opens with a bass and keyboard intro and a little bit of guitar noodling in the background. I'm sure it's Robbie on his Gibson SG. The lyrics are very poetic, like Jim's are, and if you don't like deciphering lyrics, or if you expect to decipher lyrics, Jim Morrison is not the person to listen to for you, because there's a reason we're still talking about it this day. I mean, a lot of bands, their lyrics, you know, you wonder what they meant. Jim's are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's something I like. You know, why were you born just to play with me? I mean, he loves this girl, or he loves being with this girl, but he's questioning her. I don't know. It's a very interesting song, because even in the center section, you got load your head, blow it up, feeling good, baby. Load your head, blow it up, feeling good, baby. And to me, that's more of a drug reference.
Yeah, are they doing cocaine? Because that's what it sounds like, right?
I would think LSD or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what I'm
getting. Don't they call cocaine blow?
Yeah. Then?
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Maybe that's too in your face.
So that's what I mean. You know, load your head, blow it up. I don't know if that's going on a trip. I don't know. I don't know. But it's got a really good guitar solo from Robbie in the middle. I think I'll always say this. I think Robbie Krieger is one of the most underrated guitarists ever. The way he can play finger style on the electric guitar and everything's amazing. Go listen to Spanish Caravan, for example, which is an amazing song. I was telling you, the keyboard in the middle that kind of has these spurts, it's almost like an orgasmic spurt. Keyboard. That's really interesting. And
he is making love in the afternoon with Cecilia up in his bedroom.
He's doing something.
Yeah.
I do like the way the Robbie's guitar ends out the song. I think the song ending's good. It's not a fade out or anything. And it's a really good song. I've always liked this song. And I think what kind of makes me partial to it as well is I have listened to The Doors so much. You've got to realize so much that some of these offbeat songs still seem a little fresher to me, I guess, than I don't want to hear Hello, I Love You or Light My Fire at this point anymore. I've just heard them so many times. Yeah. I love them, but I've heard them way too many times. And I've taken a little bit of a hiatus from The Doors to a certain extent. And of course, the only songs you hear on the radio are Touch Me, Hello, I Love You, Light My Fire, those kind of songs. But
I think we need to hear more of Who Scared You and Why Were You Born?
Yeah.
Because that is really the theme of what's going on in this
song. Yeah, and I don't understand the theme either. I don't understand, you know, it's a sexual song, but why Who Scared You and Why Were You Born?
I'm curious if maybe she's scared herself. She's scared at how much she's enjoying herself with him or how much she's enjoying.
Maybe that's it. But I don't think the Doors lyrics or Jim Morrison's lyrics are for us to decipher, because I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, whatever explanation I offer is going to be wrong because it's neither that simple nor that complex.
Yeah. Do you want to rate the song?
Let's rate it.
Song rating.
All right. For anybody listening for the first time, this is our scale. We have a 0 to 10 scale on our rating system. 0 is its junk and 10 is its a masterpiece. So somewhere in between is usually where the truth lies for us. Although we have had some winners and we have had some losers. But this song's smack dab in the middle for me. I'm going to give it a little bit of grace and put it at a 6 because I like a lot of what this song's doing, and that it keeps me guessing, and it also keeps me wanting to look into it a bit more, a bit deeper, to try and figure out what Jim Morrison's saying. But then again, I know that's pretty much a futile effort because it seems like Jim likes to play these games with you where he leads you down the rabbit hole where nothing is real, up is down and left is right, and you know, the White Knight's talking backwards. I'm in the wrong band now, aren't I?
Yeah, that's the wrong band.
Okay. So I give it a 6. What do you give it, Justin?
You know, it's kind of funny because with The Doors, you're such a lyrical guy that I wonder if you'll ever understand The Doors.
Never.
And for me, without a doubt, they're my second favorite band of all time. I love everything about The Doors. I mean, but I will call the songs I don't like when I don't like them. But this song, I rate a 9. I really love this song. Ever since I discovered it, it was that hidden gem that I hadn't heard. And that's kind of weird from a kid in, let's say, the early 90s, mid 90s, listening to The Doors. Everything had been released pretty much. So when like they come out with their box sets in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was kind of cool to get new songs and different takes of things. But yeah, Who Scared You is a good song for me, and I really enjoy it. I think it's kind of during that tumultuous time with The Doors when they're having a different sound, but this song still puts me in a Doors feeling. And The Soft Parade is really a departure, but this song really isn't for me from The Doors. It's a good Doors song, and I really enjoy it. I would suggest anybody that casually knows The Doors, go listen to this song because it's easier to find nowadays. Mm-hmm. You can go right on Spotify.
You make a good point. This is very much a Doors song. You could say a lot of things about it, but you can't say, oh, well, that's not a real Doors song. The sound of it, the organ, Jim Morrison, his baritone, the 50 Shades of Grey, the sexuality, it's all the Doors.
Yeah, and don't forget Robbie's guitar because that's an amazing piece to it. And one thing I forget to say, I say Robbie is a very underrated guitarist. I'll tell you, John Densmore, their drummer, he is a very, very underrated drummer. He keeps the perfect beat, you know, and they're not a heavy band that needs heavy drumming, but he does it perfectly.
I don't think that this song was easy to play. No, it sounds very complicated.
It's got a lot of different speeds. It changes tempo quite a few times.
And it's all across the board. I mean, in fact, you've got the organ like doing that whole thing. You know, everybody does it when they see a piano. They strum all the keys from right to left. Yeah. So it does that throughout this song several times, and it's always perfectly on beat. I mean, it's never too fast, never too slow. Whoever's on the keyboard is amazing.
Well, it's a pretty good song, and I expect you to give it a few more lessons to get your rating up.
So. That's fair.
So that's The Doors, Who Scared You? And if you have any thoughts, feelings, suggestions, whatever, send us an email at classicvinylpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Classic Vinyl Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Classic Vinyl Podcast for updates and also share us with your music-loving friends. We'll be right back.